but he couldn't bring himself to kill her. Grinding his teeth, he released her.
"Don't push me."
She met his gaze unflinchingly. "I didn't realize pushing you would involve me stating a simple fact." He was appalled by her unending temerity that seemed to prevent her from being silent, even when it was the prudent thing to do.
"Have you no concept of self-preservation?
Have you no concept of decent behavior?"
That made him really want to hurt her, because deep inside it cut him harshly. There had been a time when he had been decent, even courteous, but his past degradations had killed that long ago. No one had showed him mercy, so why should he ever give it to another?
"No, I don't."
Delphine felt a whisper of wind before he vanished out of the room. She looked around, but there was no sign of him. Even his sword was gone. Yet what surprised her was that in its place was a set of clothes for her. A pair of jeans, shoes, and a pink top. Why would he bother? Grateful, even though it didn't make sense, she dropped the cloak and reached for them. The moment she did, she became aware of just how cold it was here in his room. Chills ran over her body, making her teeth chatter. It was absolutely frigid. Frowning, she touched the cloak that vibrated with warmth. It truly felt like living body heat. Was it from his blood? She had no idea, but she was grateful for the warmth. And right now, she wanted to have something on besides her skin and his cloak. With her hands shaking, she quickly dressed. She kept trying to use her powers, but the containment collar was more than effective. Bloody dogs! Furious with her predicament, she opened the door to leave, then pulled up sharply. There in the hallway was what had to be the largest, ugliest demon she'd ever seen in her life. At least 10 feet tall, he had bulbous skin and a stench so foul she had to hold her breath. She immediately took a step back and slammed the door shut. His evil laughter echoed outside. Delphine rolled her eyes.
"Oh, what are you, stupid? Of course they have a guard. What part of 'you're a prisoner' did you miss?"
She castigated herself out loud. Feeling ill, frustrated, and upset, she wrapped her arms around her chest and wondered what she could do to help the others from here. This had to be where the Skotai were taking them. If she could find their prison, maybe she could set the hostages free. Then she could focus on converting Jericho back to their side. That would be the best of all worlds. Literally.
But how did one go about seducing someone? She truly had no idea.
Most of her interactions with people were through dreams, and since she wasn't an erotic Skotos, she'd never been sexually involved with them. She'd gone in only as a warrior to combat the Skotai and free the dreamer from their spell.
As a human? Well, that had been a long time ago.
And while she remembered having an appreciation for some of the boys in her village, those feelings had been muted. Now her emotions were something else. Raw, hurtful, painful, overwhelming. Anger burned her over their holding her captive, and she wanted to hurt someone. Luckily, she understood that it was only an exaggerated fury inside her and not real anger. She had to calm down and think rationally.
The window.
She went over to it and drew the curtains back. Rain soundlessly pelted the glass. Gray skies stretched out endlessly with puffed and ugly clouds. Her view looked out on a sea that boiled and crashed upon black stones. Placing her hand to the pane, she snatched it back immediately. It was so cold that it burned her.
"Calm down,"
she whispered, trying to remember everything she knew about Asmodea. Honestly, it wasn't much. It was said to be the primordial ooze that had been left over when the universe had been created. Afraid it might taint the beauty of the rest of the universe, the Source had banished it to the deepest part of the Earth, never to be seen again. When Noir and his sisters had risen to power, they had profaned the light and taken up residence here. It was said that the walls of their palace were painted red with the blood of the victims they had tortured. She looked at the burgundy paint. No, it wasn't dried blood. That was just a story meant to frighten.
It's doing a superbly good job. Stop it!
She was rational and not given to panic attacks, even though a chill went down her spine. While the room was large and well-dressed with intricately carved furniture, the austere ambiance made it less than inviting. Honestly, she preferred the hole Jericho had lived in on Earth to this place. At least the hovel hadn't been insidious and so icy cold.
Creepy.
She kept expecting something to jump out of the walls and grab her. Nervous and out of sorts, she went to the mirror and tried to pry her collar off, even though she knew just what a waste of time it would be. It was better than doing nothing. It had never been in her nature to not fight. But after a few minutes, her frustration grew and left her snatching at it until she had a bruise forming.
So much for that.
Where are you, Jericho?
And most importantly, what was he doing? Jericho paused outside the door to the room where Azura had first taken him. She had called it their war room, which made sense. But as he stood there, he felt a sharp pain in his chest. It was so hard to breathe, to think. Images flashed through his mind. Quick and intense, he saw himself as he had been in the human realm. He felt the hunger and the pain of it.
Bet you wished you'd never turned on Zeus now, huh?
He didn't know the name of the Dolophinos who had killed him that time, but if he ever found that bastard, he'd bathe in